I'd like to read a few verses that are precious to me. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4-6. So my name is Kenneth McKenzie. I was born in 1973 in the Moyle Hospital in Larne. My parents are Laura and Kay. I've got a younger brother, Gary, and a younger sister, Julie. My earliest memories were living in Moyle Parade in Boyne Square. Even though money was scarce, it was a loving home. I spent most of my time between my parents, my grandparents, and my aunts sometimes. At some point, we moved as a family to Secourt Estate. This was a place where had some very good memories and some bad ones. Secourt at that time was a mixed estate, and I had many Catholic and Protestant friends. I ran about with a guy called Sean Higgerty. We played football, sea cadets. I began to do a bit of kickboxing with Sean. His mum and dad, Tony and Alice, were both black belts at kickboxing. Sean's dad then put us to work, cutting peat, doing blocks, like selling potatoes and stuff around the door. He also had a chip fan. He'd done all the events like the Tolf and stuff around Larne and put us to work on it. Concerning church, I had some church activity in my childhood. On Sundays I attended First Larne Sunday School and the BB. During the week I would have come to the mission hall. There was a whole crowd of us came down here to the children's meetings. In between that, Sean's dad Tony took us to Christian gatherings in Malile. They were just big gatherings, marquees, food stalls, animals, and gospel meetings. After one of the gospel meetings, me and Sean went to a caravan with, I take it was one of the pastors, whoever it was, and we get saved in the caravan. I do remember both of us being emotionally affected by it, and we made our profession of faith there. I can remember this time being happy for my life. I enjoyed my friends, and Tony helped me greatly with like weight training, kickboxing, and putting us to work. But this time in Secourt, the troubles were starting, and it began to become much more divided on sectarian lines. There was fighting between various sides. Houses were attacked and even shots fired. I got involved in some loyalist activities. I was in Constable Anderson Memorial Flute Band. We were collecting for bonfires and stuff, but they kept getting burnt. Catholics kept burning them, so we were having conflict with the Catholics up there. So we got involved in a few violent confrontations, and our windows were smashed in our house. I also received some serious threats on my life on a few occasions. I had to run for my life one time out the back door with my son and get my dad to pick me up at the end of the road, for there's a crowd at the front door. Sadly, at this time, Tony passed away, which left a big hole in my life, as he was a great mentor for me and all our friends. So after that, when the family decided to leave Secourt and move back to Boyne Square, this wasn't just because of the violence. At that time, my granddad took a bad stroke and we had to move down with him to look after him. So around this time, I worked at the harbour. I was in a relationship with a girl from Secourt. We both got a flat together in Craigie Hill, but this relationship ended badly when I come home to discover she left me for another man. All these things made me a very bitter and angry person. My life spiralled out of control. I thought of God or church and got heavily involved in loyalist activities. This led to drugs, excessive drinking and violence. Then I got involved with my ex-girlfriend again. We bought a house and eventually had a son together. I loved my son, but our lives had no stability or peace. I was still heavily involved in drinking, drugs and other wrong activities. This relationship ended badly and the breakdown was and led to court cases. I'm ashamed of this period of my life as it hurt so many people. In particular, it hurt my son and our relationship. While I was on bail, awaiting court, I received another blow as my best friend took his life. I still blame myself for what happened to him as he... Still blame myself for what happened. I went to his house on New Year's Day and found his TV on. So I walked about, checked the kitchen, shouted up the stairs, no answer. So I went down the corner for his park and tried to phone him and he never answered. So I went to my mum's for a shower. And while in the shower, one of my other friends came to the door and says he was hanging from the attic up the stairs. His death affected me greatly. Then another friend hung himself from the trees in Bruston Braes and we found him. Then while I was waiting to go to a soldier's homecoming, I was standing at where the fruit shop used to be at Forest Park, and there's a set of bikes, and there was all bins lined up. I was standing there, and my dad came down and gave me a lift down to go to the soldier's homecoming, and I got a phone call to say, directly behind those bins where I was standing, my friend had been murdered, stabbed 17 times by a boy I went to school with. Sorry. I could give example after example, as I have about a dozen friends lying in Craighill Cemetery, most of them younger than me. I began to clean myself up outwardly at this time. I stayed off of drinking drugs for 18 months. One of the most wonderful things that helped me was meeting Norma. She was and is my soulmate. God used her to save my life from destruction. Despite the fact the relationship with Norma brought stability in my life, I still started drinking again and taking drugs, although it was not the same extent as before. Norma and I had children from a previous relationship, but we decided to try for a child together. We struggled to have a child, so we had to turn to IVF. Norma conceived twins first time. We were overjoyed, but sadly both died in the womb at 12 weeks. This was heartbreaking for us. Another four attempts and we were unsuccessful. Then we tried one last time and miraculously Jackson was conceived. When he was born, we had a cord around his neck a few times, but we were so overjoyed when Jackson gave his first cry. But then Norma took ill and was rushed to theatre. I was holding Jackson in my arms while she was in theatre, and for the first time in a long time, I prayed to God to save my wife. You would have thought that all this would have made me wiser, but after the birth of Jackson, I still went back to the drink and making a fool of myself. So around September 2022, God began to seriously deal with me. A cousin of mine, David, who thinks here to me, got wonderfully saved, and some friends from the loyalist circles got saved, and I could see how happy they were and how empty my life was. I reached out to some online and they began to witness to me about getting saved. I wanted to give up this life of hatred, drinking and fighting and so on. So I attended a few churches in Belfast and then remembered I attended the Mission Hall here as a child. I managed to contact the church Facebook page and Trevor Robison replied. He invited me to attend the church and gave me a Bible. I started attending church and enjoyed it. It was this time that Paul Ferguson became the pastor at the end of 2022. His preaching really spoke to me. Every service I went home thinking that Paul was talking to me, as if God was closing the net in me. At the time, I lost a very good Scotch friend, Nat, to cancer. Before I could get to see him, he died, and it really shook me up. My head was all over the place. The night before Nat's funeral, I was drinking heavily, never went to bed. Ended up losing my credit card, not paying my bar bill, and the police came to the door. It was a complete mess. Sunday after Nat's funeral, I decided this life of sin was no longer for me. I went to the church that Sunday, determined to get right with God. The whole service, every word that Paul said, seemed to be directed at me. After the service, I asked to speak privately with Trevor. He led me in prayer, and I cried to God for forgiveness of my sins. The burden of sin and guilt of the past was gone in an instant. After I trusted the Lord, I saw God work in my family, or my life and my family. I have kept off the drink now and have no desire to go back to that lifestyle. For anyone here that is trapped in that life, I stand here as testimony that God can change you from this toxic lifestyle. A short time after I trusted the Lord, my mother became a believer. Then after that, my wife Norma and mother-in-law Linda trusted God. It is my prayer that all my family will be saved. I want to thank my parents so much for all they have done for me. I am also very thankful for Tony Higgerty for what he did for me in my life. I pay tribute to my wife Norma, children Darren, Bradley, John and Jackson, my grandkids Tom, Kaya and Kobe. To all my family and friends that have stood by me all these years, I'm eternally grateful. Lastly, and most importantly, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me from my sins. He has been with me from that moment in my life. All those years ago, I failed him, but he never failed me. Tonight, my wife, my mother-in-law will join me in being baptized. This is our moment to publicly identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed to declare we are Christians. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope you have been blessed by my story. You also have a story. God wants to be part of your life. Make sure you join me in trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, just as he forgave me my sins, delivered me from the drink and drugs and hatred, so he can do for you. Good night, and God bless you all.